Mr. Ambassador Goldberg online too, Mr. President.
Fine.
Yes. In reference to our conversation about the minimum wage.
Sure.
We're all set. I've talked to Dave, and Monday, I will have a meeting here, a lunch meeting, with Dave, Alex Rose, Lou Stolberg. We've got to get him in now, because he's the new president. And Jack Potofsky. And if you're agreeable, we'll go ahead with arrangements for the signing, which I would propose. When do you expect the bill to be passed?
It hadn't come down to us yet. I don't know, but we would have 10 days, and it'll take a week for them to get processed through the various departments. What I would do, I think this is a very good thing, but what I would do if I were you is talk to them and see the degree of their interest and what they would propose and how much we could go all out. I would hate to have anything less than their full active shouting enthusiasm, because I think it would be misconstrued, and some of them might think we're trying to play with them or play against them in the governor's race. We got to watch that very, very carefully, because that's always potentially very dangerous up there, as you know. Now, Reuther just demanded last week that we go down to Cobo Hall, and we had about 8,000 or 9,000, and
I thought that was a disgrace.
Everybody wanted to go to the fairgrounds, and he wouldn't let them, and they had no place to park, and they couldn't get in, and it's about as good a crowd as anybody could get in a big city, but it was bad management, I thought, and he admitted afterwards. But I don't want to get in anything like that up here. I can have a very nice ceremony here. I don't know what we really get out of a bigger one. That's something I want you to think about, evaluate, and talk to them. Let's say now, is there any way that we can get a good image abroad and a good image in the United States? And do you want to get a good image for the administration advocating this kind of a thing? Or does it really, it does contribute to inflation, where inflation is really coming from now? It's from our laundry workers and from our housemaids and from our service industries and our hospitals and our bus drivers. The lower paid people getting the increases is what's adding up our cost of living. Last month it was 0.4%. It came primarily from the service people getting raises, the service people and the farmers. The farmers just get 69% of the total what the factory worker gets. And when he goes up from 63 to 69, he's still in a hell of a shape. But it makes your cost of living go up, and your milk and your bread. And I don't know whether we want that kind of thing. I think so. And I would particularly think so if you had the right people and the right things said and the right things done and the right crowd. But that takes a lot of enthusiasm and activity. Now, maybe they don't have it, maybe they don't want it, and I don't know what it does, whether you have a problem with Franklin Roosevelt there on the platform or O'Connor on the platform. It may be going in there that we create more problems than we really solve. That's something you ought to explore, and I would believe that you're going about it exactly the right way. I would not get signed on, though, where I can't retreat if it looks bad. I just say, let's explore it. And the more I think about it, the more inclined I am to think that we might get a lot of static there. You got the New York Times, they might say it was too showy. You got the Roosevelts that want to be on the platform, and O'Connor would say you're sponsoring him. If you had them both, you'd have trouble, probably. And you, I think, understand those things about as well as anybody, and you take it does you good to see them feel the pulse anyway, and just say, I raised a question to you whether we should do it at all. You don't know. You're not going to decide, but you want to get their viewpoint. And then you call me Monday afternoon.
Right. Let me just say this. I agree with that very much. I would not even propose it to you if I didn't have a firm understanding that we would closed the shops down in New York at, you know, an hour at lunch, an hour before, and have 200,000 people on 7th Avenue. Anything other than that can be done. If there is the requisite enthusiasm and desire to do it. That's done in campaign periods, and that's the tradition. Anything short of that, if we could not have that street built from 38th to about 28th, 10 blocks, you know, 200,000-300,000
sure.
workers,
sure.
it would not be worthwhile. Then you should have a dignified signing ceremony.
Well, the advantage of that is you got congressmen and senators here.
Yeah.
They don't, we wouldn't have them in New York. And then you don't have the politicians from New York that have to come here. You could get Dubinsky and little Solberg or whoever sponsored the bill. Dubinsky is the man that's been the most active, but you don't even need to have him. You could just go and sign it because it's just an increase. It's not the original one. But think about it and call me Monday and let's evaluate it and let's don't get signed on one way or the other.
No, we won't get signed on. That's why I called. First, I wanted to determine, because David mentioned whether it reflected any lack of, you know, personal enthusiasm. Because normally when you make a proposal like this, I would expect the response to be in support. And I have made that determination. I've had a very frank talk with him. That was nothing. Now, when we meet, then also, you don't want to make this. I thought one mistake you had made in the approach. You don't want to make this exclusively a Dave Dubinsky.
Oh, no, that's right.
See, you know, you got a new president.
That's right.
Dave is a great friend of mine. But you got a new president, and you increasingly have got to get the new president. In the act.
That's right. But until we decide what the feel is,
right.
I didn't want to call any of them.
Then we got the you got the amalgamated group too. We don't want to only play an aisle.
No, that's right. That's right.
Because this is the clothing of America, and the men's industry is equally involved as the ladies.
Yep.
Even though the big buck of the crowd would come from the ILGW.
Yep.
So anyhow, we'll meet. We'll have a conversation.
And you can kind of feel out on every other thing. I'd go the Vietnam route. I'd go the gubernatorial route. I'd go the labor thing generally. And I would, I'd like you to just get for me an accurate reading of the whole picture up there. I don't know what their motive is. I don't quite understand why they want to defeat O'Connor.
Well, I'll tell you, they want to keep their third place on the ballot. And they have a feeling that at the present time, they can get votes to keep their third line, which to them is life or death. And they don't care for us. In fact, Lou Stahlberg boycotted the meeting. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, yes.
There's not much enthusiasm for Roosevelt. As a matter of fact, you remember George Meany's attitude about Roosevelt. He vetoed him for Undersecretary of the Labor Department. Before he took office. No enthusiasm. They thought he was a playboy, you know, it was a job. I think what they're doing is playing a game. They would like to get several hundred thousand votes. And fundamentally, they don't mind Rockefeller being elected if he's reelected. They get along with him. And they did this with Lindsay, you know. And they think, they don't think it hurts you. They wouldn't do it if they thought it hurt you. They thought, their view is, that that puts them in a position to have the third place on the ballot and get support.
That's good.
So that they think it's a local affair.
Well, you check that out carefully, and then you call me and tell me.
Now, can I take a word with you about the U.N. delegation?
Yeah.
John Macy's been talking to me, and maybe it's simpler to talk together. He passed word to me about Harding Bancroft being agreeable to you.
Yeah. If that's what you want. All I know about him, I never heard of it, is what you said the other night.
Yeah, he's a nice fellow.
Well, you just be sure that you want to waste it on him. If that's it, I'll go with you.
Yeah, the other question, I have a little bit of a problem, frankly, with Clutchman, whom you reacted adversely to. I'll tell you why I suggested him. He, of course, was with Abner. There's no question about it. But there are two reasons I thought we might go with him. One is we used him in the State Department just recently. Gordon used him as the financial man down here. He's a good financial man. And we used him. He helped us in financial affairs, serving as our expert on the Committee of 14. Then he's one of the leaders of the Jewish community. I had that in mind. You know, he's been head of the Nation and so on and so forth. And in international affairs, you and I both know we have a problem. This area. And I thought it might be helpful to have him publicly on the delegation, sharing some of the responsibility in this area. That was what was in my mind. See, it was not that he was an Adelaide man. He'd been out a couple of years. And so that's why.
You know what I'm doing, though? I'm between Adelaide and JFK, there's no Johnson.
Yeah. Well, you got a good Johnson man in Goldberg.
That's why if Joe Goldberg can't take care of the international Jewish community, I damn sure wouldn't rely on Klutznik.
Yeah, but one thing about that, I will, but don't rely upon Jewish war veterans. They're not in very good standing.
Nobody does at all, and this is the most unfair.
Gave a lousy interview.
Well, I don't agree with that. I saw what he said. I think it became lousy after they got to playing politics with it. And basically, they can do what they want to, but they must be just. Yeah. And what was said to them with witnesses and present and what he said out there does not justify their blowing it up.
But
and I'm expecting a big request for money the next day. I really resented that, and I'll tell you when we can talk about it. I've got Bob McNamara and some folks here now, but that was pretty low, and I don't believe that Eshkol and them would be a party to it. It was just the dirtiest trick I ever saw. The first place, you know how anxious I am to be receiving Jewish war veterans to begin with. I treat it as a courtesy, and goddamn if I'm going to apologize for it. And I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything that needs to be apologized for. And they're making an issue out of something that does not exist. And it's a clan tactic almost.
I think in that area, you know, I'm going to meet with the leader myself. I told him Piper that he called me today, and I said that all that had to be done is bring him in to see me. And I'm going to meet with them up here, and we will have a talk about it, and it will be a proper type of talk. But I wanted you to know what the reasons were and the thinking behind it. And I think one way or another we've got to.
I would like to begin just once in a while to take somebody that I could just freshly appoint. I don't mind. That was one thing I took Bancroft, just because he hadn't been too strongly identified. But I do get a good deal of feeling among my own people, and it's pretty hard to hold them when you just reappoint all day long. And it'll be Bill Blair next week, and it'll be Marietta Trees next week, and it'll be somebody else next week. And I just can't build an organization or survive on it.
What about Bob Benton?
I like him very much and told him that I'd go with him.
All right, why don't we settle?
But I don't want Bob Benjamin and Klutznik and about a half a dozen, you see, Bancroft.
Well, that's Bancroft and Benjamin. How would that be?
All right, that's all right.
Is that agreeable?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Is that agreeable?
Yeah.
All right, because we got a.
Now, what do you have? Don't you have two sets of them?
No, we just have two spots.
That's right. And what?
Then why don't we ride with them?
That's all right.
And I'll take care of George Killian. Indicated some interest in him by making him a senior advisor.
All right, well, I thought, yes, but that, let me see, aren't there two sets of...
No. See, we have...
They have agreed on George Killian, you see. They got him, they called him, asked him.
Yeah.
He agreed to. They submitted names to me, a dozen of them, and I said, okay, Killian's all right, others all right. I named Stanley Marcus, four or five others that are good.
Serve.
So they couldn't serve, but they did have Killian. I wouldn't want Killian to think I was turning him down.
No.
Does that mean that...
we only have two spots.
Well, then what do you think about Killian and Benjamin?
Well,
that gives us one from west and one from east.
Well, we've offered it to Bancroft, too, you see, after this talk.
Well, then I'd say that'd be Bancroft and Killian, and we've offered it to Killian. He accepted.
Would you prefer that to doing this? Because George is a good friend of mine. and...
Well, why don't you just give it to to Killian and Benjamin and tell Bancroft to be the advisor.